Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, here we go. I like announcements. So the announcement, let's just get right to it. The two people who are on the podcast today, I will be on the podcast again because they are, I'm going to say this again, you guys, Courtney Finnicum and Johnny Gomes, you have done a lot of things in your lives. You've accomplished a lot of things, and I'm sure you've gotten a lot of compliments, but I can only give you the highest compliment, which is you guys both are among the best I've ever heard in terms of being feisty baseball followers. Well, that's it. I mean, is that all right? Is that a good one?
I've been called worse. I have. we can break it down. But I tell you what, man, I mean, I played the game a long time. The game was great to me. And since such a young age to now, that the passion hasn't gone away. Got some stuff in the back here, which is also hung up as my cleats, right? Playing days are over. But the fanhood has took over. Actually, the guys I played with are starting to run out now. I mean, that's when you're really starting. Like, is there anyone in the show that I even played with? Couple. But I love baseball, man. I'm a baseball rat. I love talking about it. I love being a part of it. And what a great platform right here.
Yeah. And Courtney, same thing.
I think Johnny said it perfectly. Obviously, I don't have the player mentality that he has and the experience that he has. But if I was a baseball player, I'd be a dirtbag just like Johnny Gomes was. I mean, literally, you know, that's the way I represent myself kind of in general into the public. And the fact that I can go on here, get all my angst out, get all my opinions out there really is very, very cathartic for me. So yeah. I love it. I'm excited. It's great.
It's cheaper than therapy.
It is.
There you go. So I guess, you know, I sort of eased into it, but now I'm going to do the cannonball boom. Here's the announcement, which is you guys are going to be doing something that is going to be awesomely called Pitch and Moan. Pitch and Moan. Oh, my goodness. I told you before, and Johnny will give the tip of the hat, the tip of the chapeau to Courtney for thinking of this. Courtney, I said this, and I mean it. Anybody who, like, there's a trillion podcasts out there, right? There's a trillion of them. Baseball season, in the last couple of days, I've seen double of what there was last year. But finding a good name for, whether it's a segment or podcast, is so difficult. I've seen go through meetings upon meetings upon meetings. I text you yesterday. I text both of you. I say, hey, you know what? This is going to be great. We just need a name. We need a logo and everything else. And I think it was your second go-round. Your first one, Courtney, not great. So not great. But then you like, boom, pitch and moan. Like, oh, yes.
I mean, here's my crazy mind, right? I'm going to walk you through my crazy mind for 10 seconds here. I thought, okay, we have my personality. I'm kind of a lunatic. We have Johnny Gomes' personality. He's kind of a lunatic. We're both very opinionated, very feisty, like pitching and moaning. I mean, that's what we do, you know? So, I mean, it's a perfect name, and I feel like it fits us, our personalities perfectly, I gotta say.
I just absolutely cannot wait for the merch to drop, the bumper stickers, the pins, the pitch and moan giveaways. I mean, how can you not be a part of pitching and moaning with Major League Baseball?
Oh, the events.
The events.
Oh,
and this is also, we're also covering all corners of the globe. Courtney's in Chicago. Baseball's in Boring. Headquarters are in Boston. Johnny,
could you imagine just going up to like a tailgate and just be like, you got 3 minutes to pitch and moan?
Oh,
that's it.
I mean, like fire away, right? I mean, could you imagine going down to the South Side and dropping
Thank
that
you.
On them? Oh, they'd have something to say, buddy.
That's first idea. The idea is popping, Johnny. The first idea is going into, and Courtney, we're going to get to how you're going to opening day.
Yes.
Take your camera and just say, hey, okay, you got a minute. Pitch and moan. Boom.
Pitch and moan. Right?
And that fan base, as we all know, will have a lot to pitch and moan about. So I think that is a fantastic idea. And we'd get hours of content just on that alone.
And a huge shout out to producer Evan.
Yes.
Because I think he came through with a good logo, right? Correct?
Yes.
Nailed it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when one thing I've learned this spring training, and I randomly ran into Johnny, that was so weird, Johnny. Like how
I mean, you just look down, you look up, there's Rob and Dustin Pedroia and myself, and fans are kind of like, what the hell is in the outfield at Salt River Field? Like, what?
But Johnny, you know as well as I do. You have a lot of, as your background would suggest, you have World Series rings, you're a major league player, you've done so much good. Me, you know, I have my own accomplishments, but not quite on the level of yours.
But I know where you're going with this.
Courtney, it was maybe a top five moment for me in my professional baseball existence when I walk up with Dustin Pedroia to the concourse. There's Johnny Gomes. Hey, we're all back together. 2013 reunion. Let's go. We're talking. We're chopping it up. And a guy walks by. And what does he say, Johnny?
Rob Radford.
Oh my gosh. I love
your stuff. I can't believe I'm bumping into Rob at a ball game. This is so cool. Basically, like, hands Dustin Pedroia the phone and wants a picture. Oh, like, this guy, I was like, this is never going away.
Oh,
baseball's boring. I love it, man. Petey and I are just like, this freaking guy.
Yeah,
I cannot believe this is the first I've heard of this story, Rob. I mean, I'm surprised you don't tweet about that every single day.
Well, I wanted to. It was as much of the payoff was great for me, seeing the look on Johnny and Pedroia's face
was that
just doubled it. That was, oh my goodness.
Okay.
like
Rob officially outshined us that day.
That is unreal.
And Johnny, like, I think you were a little more diplomatic. Pedroia was literally like, I think he literally said, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, Pedroia literally wanted to throw up in his mouth over that. But,
oh, that is tremendous.
He just lost clout to the podcast.
Well, listen, the pitch and moan, my point is that where I've been out in spring training, and one of the things that I've noticed is that we have the baseballs and boring stickers, and stickers are a powerful thing. I can't remember, Johnny, did I give you one when I saw you?
No, you're too famous.
Oh, that's just true.
Yeah, you're handing them out to fans. Yeah,
I know.
Taking photos.
It was like, so this is top of mind. We have the baseballs and boring stickers. The pitch and moan stickers are in production right now.
Yes.
I mean, you start with the stickers and then you go from there. There it is. So, but the podcast is going to be awesome. So I want to come back to that. My original point is the podcast, you guys getting together, and I'm not just saying this. The people I believe in are the people that I believe in. You guys, I fully believe in. You guys did a podcast together by yourselves when I was on a cruise, which I appreciate. And I'm sitting on the cruise. I'm sitting on the Lido deck, and I'm like, this is awesome. This is like your guys' chemistry, your opinions, all of it, good. So I just there you go. I can't compliment you guys anymore. So there you go.
And Rob, we trust, and I promise to nail it, and I promise for Courtney and I to just tag team all kinds of issues in the game, a couple opinions, a couple hot takes, probably a couple hot mics. I'm gonna need the swear button somewhere over here in my little desk.
Do. No, we really
I've already sworn to this podcast, Johnny.
I'm going to get fired up.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I have a soft spot for Johnny as it is. You know, Rob, when you originally brought me on Baseball Isn't Boring, our first guest was Johnny Gomes, if you recall.
Yes, I did from the Wrigley Field infield. Yes,
that's right. That's right. And then my first one solo was Johnny Gomes. So really, it only makes sense that we continue on this lovely path together and just crush the game the way Johnny and I both know how to do.
And we are also together. The three of us are legally tied, legally bound, because we are privy to some text chains for a fantasy football league, which we will take to our graves.
Yes.
And by the way, my team did beat Johnny Gomes, I believe, twice. And that was a very bad fantasy football team that I had. Still beat Johnny Gomes twice.
I'm just glad everybody was apart from each other. Therefore, no one got slapped in the outfield.
I kind of agree.
No, there's no hands-on contact in Baseball Is Boring Fantasy Football. Thank goodness.
And by the way, Johnny, you keep saying baseball, and I can't tell you if you are adding the N and the T at the end of it. I can't. So if you do anything in life, please do not say baseball is boring. Please.
No, I wouldn't be here.
I know. So this is we did the announcement, but one of the things I'm like, okay, well, what can we do today? And as sort of, you know, as long as I got you guys together, and for both of you, I think that one of the things that's awesome is setting the tone. Like, and this isn't like a cliche. This is like a very real thing. And for both of you, I'm going to explain why I think of you guys when I think of setting the tone. Let's spin the wheel of pitch and moan. I'll go with you, Johnny, first. Okay. Because Courtney, like, yours is more heartfelt. So it's we want to hold back the tears until we have you talk. But with Johnny, I must have in my interviews or whatever, when we talk about opening day, when we talk about spring training, when we talk about the value of having a team approach spring training the right way and then having opening day, it was 2013 and then everything else. It was, and John, I'll let you go in a second, but I'm just saying, I know that the tone was set. I was there. We've talked about it before. That was what spring training was for. But then you have opening day where Johnny Gomes, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't go back and look this up. It's off the top of my head. Scores from second on a pass. Was a pass ball?
Ground ball to second.
Right? Oh, yes. Ground ball to second. And scores from second, and it was like, boom. Boom, yeah. Let's go. So anyway, you go ahead, Johnny. The floor is yours on those two things, how spring training can set the tone and how you can set the tone on what is coming up opening day.
Well, yeah, it's a really unique day, right? And I actually break it down to where there's three opportunities that you can play in a season where there is paint on the grass. Think about that when there's paint on the grass, right? It's opening day, it's the All-Star game, and it's the postseason. And those are the three most important games, right, that you're going to go throughout the whole season. The All-Star game, not a guarantee. The postseason, not a guarantee. But opening day is 100% a guarantee for everybody. All the young guys that are getting able to break, all the veterans that are getting ready to, you know, do it again. The guys racking up their fourth, fifth, and sixth opening day start, which is pretty heroic. Then you're going to have the guys that set the tone, and it's like, here we go. We're going 162-0. And then the other side of, like, we played really good. I love what we did, but we just didn't have enough runs, and we lost. And then the panic button right away. Game one, 9 innings. What are we going to do? Team meeting, all this stuff. And I've been a part of it. I've watched it. And there's only one of them, man. It's opening day. I got an opening day bat back there. Let me get stay there.
Well, and why Johnny gets the bat, I will mention, I want you, Johnny, I do want you to talk about that specific opening. It was at Yankee Stadium. Oh, look at that.
Oh, my God. Look at, wow.
Look at, can I see it? Talk for a second.
That's an old one, buddy. That's an old one. 2006, that was an opening day.
Wow.
That was your first one, right? The first one?
Just stepped into the box and hit a tank right out of the gate. 2-for-4. I'm like, I'm on pace for 162, right? The old Fighting Devil Rays back in the day.
Love that name. Bring that back. Bring that name back.
That was, Johnny, that was, we talked about setting the tone. I mean, that was a year you guys, I think it was that year, right?
Oh, 2008 was the year.
Right. Yeah.
We go from last place to first place. Big fight with the Yankees in spring training. Big fight with the Red Sox. Win the division. Here we go. Bump into Philly with a 2-day rain delay, if you remember that. Lose to Philly. Jeff Jenkins, big double over there. I forgot it all, believe it or not. James Shields goes boom.
So, I was going to start in 2013, but I'll go to 2008 because you mentioned something. We're talking about setting the tone in spring training. And a lot of people are like, oh, you're going through spring training. It's just stats don't matter. You're getting your work in and whatever it is. But there are spring trainings, I think, that are defining spring trainings in their defining moments. And you just mentioned one, right? The brawl with the Yankees in spring training.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I would have to go back and look. So I did the playoffs 08, 10, 12, 13, 14, and 15. And I honestly can't remember having a losing record or a bad spring that we then went to the postseason. Like spring, 1,000% matters, right? 1,000% matters. It matters for health. It matters for team chemistry. It matters about pressure testing. And, you know, granted, you know, you only play 3 innings and then 5 innings and 6 and 7, but win those 3 innings, win those 5 innings, win those 7. And then later in the game, like, yeah, who has the most depth, right? That those count. I've never wore a major. This doesn't matter. Right. So the ones that don't really carry that way, you're going to look down, you're going to look up. It's going to be April or May, and you're going to be like, geez, it's time to turn it on. And you're going to be, it's a little too late to the party.
But that one in Yankee Stadium 2013, it was because a lot of people still didn't believe and like, oh, well, the Red Sox coming off 2012, it sucked. You know, there wasn't like, you guys got a lot of pieces, but there wasn't the acquisition of, I think of that offseason, it was Josh Hamilton was a big guy or something like that. But you get a lot of pieces and okay, people still had to buy in, but you guys set that at Yankee Stadium. And I'm not just saying this because you're on here, Johnny, like that play where you scored from second, that was sort of like, okay, let's go. Like, let's go. Right.
Well, and then the following game, almost cost the kid, but Petey goes head first slide into first base, just trying to beat out an infield single. Like the tone was set, right? Like the 13 Red Sox, you're going to have to pack your lunch because they're punching you in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. So Courtney, what do you remember? Like, we're going to talk about your opening day, setting the tone in terms of a fan, like in terms of your, Johnny, wait till you hear Courtney's story. It's awesome. It's going to be great. I was like, you're going to know more about each other than you ever thought possible. So it's, but when you look at, when you're going through spring, like you go to Arizona, you know, you take the pool picks, you take the stadium shots, you know, like you got the whole thing.
I do the whole thing. I do.
Right. But you like everybody else are like, oh, hey, you know, I saw I saw so-and-so. He looked pretty good. I saw that, you know, like, I like the way, maybe I saw them doing something, like, from a fan's perspective, what you could, are you pretty good at telling whether or not a team is good or not?
I got to tell you what Johnny was saying about all the postseason appearances he made and the fact that he never played on a postseason team that had a bad spring. That was very eye-opening for me because I am a big firm believer in spring training actually mattering, because how do you turn it on in all of a sudden March 27th, 28th? How do you start to turn it on right away? All of a sudden it's May 15th and you're 11 games out of first. That's a hell of a hole to dig out of. So I pay very close attention to. I pay close attention to the pitchers who I know is going to be in the starting rotation, the bullpen guys. And like Johnny said, health, that is gigantic. You know, if we're coming out of the gates, not even opening day, and we're losing Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, we're kind of screwed at that point. So there's certain things that I do look for and that I do notice. Now, I'm not the kind of person that's getting hysterical over these stats, but I want to see certain guys do well. You know, if I'm seeing Michael Kopech getting lit up and doing the exact same things he was doing last year in spring training of this year, I'm going to be a little concerned. So I do look for certain things. I'm not hysterical about it, but I do feel like there is a level of importance that spring training definitely has on a team.
No, that's well said. And Johnny, I don't want to say that, you know, it's all, you know, 40-yard dashes and carrying around like weighted backpacks in spring training, because I'm sure you'd also take pool shots in spring training, Johnny. Like there's no question. But at the same time, there's a balance, and I bet, and maybe I don't know if you have, or if the some young guys, because they're young and maybe they don't know any better, I don't know if you've ever had to get on guys say, hey, listen, let's go. I get it. You know, it's nice weather here. The games don't count. But all the things that you were talking about, Johnny, like, let's go. I don't know if you have had to do that with young players, how much that happens, if that's a common occurrence. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I tell you the truth. I mean, it would love to be a good story here where I had to, like, take a kid to the side and strangle him and do all this stuff. But, like, I was a big advocate, you know, once you got some time in, 4 or 5 years. It's normally about 5 to 6 when free agency comes is when you have time. But you got to set the tone of, like, follow me, right? Follow me. Lead by example is, in my eyes, way bigger than, like, the verbal side of things. Right. So, I mean, we can go to the Sox team or we can go to the other teams. I mean, when you got Petey running the ball out, when you got Els running the ball out, when you got Knapp running the ball out, and myself, like, when the hustle guy should never stand out, the guy that doesn't hustle should stand out. Right. So when you have that chemistry, when you have that culture, that's when you'll be in good shape.
Again, well put. I'm going to keep saying it, but it's both. You guys have great points. Before we get to Courtney's opening day stories or story, main story, Johnny, when you were a kid, when you were a fan, first of all, did you go to any opening days? And second of all, did you, like, when you were a kid, like, oh my God, my team lost, or my team won, we're going to go 162-0, or we're going to go 162. Like, what was it like, as a kid, as a little Johnny Gomes?
Yeah.
How did you view it?
So I could throw it back to where the iconic game and the iconic World Series was thrown down my throat at such a young age. So growing up in Northern California, I got two teams in my backyard. I got the Oakland A's and I got the San Francisco Giants, freaking right there. Same amount of time if you want to go to Oakland, if you want to go to Old Candlestick, or whichever one you want to go to. Boom, the 89 World Series, right? I'm 8 years old, you know, all the way back then. And that's really what kickstarted my love for the game, was either way, I'm going to have a champ in my backyard, and whoever wins, I am going to follow that team forever and play like they do and model my game and be just like them. And my gosh, the Oakland A's won after the earthquake, right? Which was a big, you know, we got to throw that in there. But can you run the bases like Ricky Henderson? Can you hit homers like Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire? Right. You got Dennis Eckersley throwing way out here sidearm to close the game. You got Carney Lansford. You got Mike Gallego. I mean, what an iconic team to grow up cheering for and model my game after. And yeah, from a young age, postseason mattered for me. I was all about the postseason from Jump Street.
Yeah. And then once again, like the postseason, you get there, but it almost feels like it's so hard to do not do this as forget about as a reporter, but as a fan, both of when we look at this, you postseason, there are one game seasons, or they used to be one a couple of years ago, there was one game seasons. And, but with opening day, it feels like a one game season. Like, right. Like yep. This is all the things that Johnny were talking about tone setting. Like that is absolutely true. But if you lost that first game in 2013, you probably would have figured out, hey guys, let's go. We'll figure out a way. We'll figure out a way. But still, there is that element of, man, it feels like that opening day, like that is double. It counts for three.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah,
I agree too. And I mean, for the most part, everybody is it's probably the healthiest your roster is going to be, right? You could argue, I mean, there's the Sunday day game over here. There's the Tuesday, you know, the ace is on the mound. So this guy's going to scratch himself and be like, oh, my oblique, like whatever. It's really that even might happen game two, right? Or three, but not opening day. Everybody wants to be on that line. Everybody wants to be on that line before the first pitch in the 1-9, right? You want to be in that lineup, right? And then no one's dodging the aces. You know, there's probably two or three dudes that want that ball, but chances are the guy who's going to get it is supposed to get it. Yeah, and this is stuff that, like, I got this bat, like, right here, man. This, you collect stuff from that day. It's go to Cincinnati, man. They have a freaking parade and shut school down out there. That's what I'm talking about.
I love
flyovers,
it.
Flyovers, huge flags, everyone on the line. How many times does like the training staff get to get on the line? The bat boys out there high fiving people, right? It's a pretty impactful day for more than just the players.
I always feel like it's a weird thing. You get to the line. And like, so give me the Johnny Gomes, what you did. Did you do
how
that?
How awkward is that, right?
Like, it's super awkward.
Like, do you go like here? Do you go this? Do you go full piece? Like, do you pretend they didn't hear your name or you're talking to your buddy?
What?
Like, you're in the middle of a bubble. You got a big dip in your mouth, something like you're just, next, go. Yeah.
Courtney, this is your big chance. All right. You're right up to the line. All right. What do you do? What does Courtney Finnegan do?
Huge wave. Huge wave. Huge smile.
Hey.
Are you kidding me?
Hey.
Come on.
Let's go. Yeah.
It's me. Hello.
Yeah. Like, parade wave.
You got to do the royal wave.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, just really just give them the best entrance I could possibly think of. Of course.
All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. All right, Courtney. I'll say we talked about this last year. It, by the way, was so well received, your story about opening day. And so I think it's sort of a time-honored tradition now of you telling like your history of opening day, why it means so much. So I'm going to give the floor to you. Go ahead.
So a story I've actually never told before. Several years ago, I was probably not even 15 years old. For the record, I am embarking on my 24th home opener in a row on Thursday. My very first team was the Kids Can Play Chicago White Sox, the 2000 team. You want to talk about a brawl? That team had a massive brawl with the Detroit Tigers back in April of 2000 that propelled them for the entire season. That was a team that was not projected to do anything that year, ended up winning 95 games. You know, they were incredibly exciting. Unfortunately, they fell into playing the red hot Seattle Mariners that year and was swept out of the playoffs. But that was my first opening day memory, was that team. So I'm very partial to that team, as you can well imagine. With that being said, though, several years later on opening day, you know, it's a media frenzy, right, Johnny? You know that it's a media frenzy. Everybody's out there. Everybody's dressed to the nines. And I was walking into the stadium And Fox in Chicago was interviewing a bunch of fans. So they stopped to me. And again, I was not even 15 years old. And he said to me, "What does opening day mean to you?" And I confidently smiled and I said, "It's better than Christmas morning." That highlight opened up the news that night. It replayed in the morning. I was everywhere. And this was pre-social media days. So that was very proudful. I was very proud of that, as you can well imagine.
Yeah, you should be. That was awesome. Well said.
That'd be some NIL money today, for sure.
I mean, that was before my podcasting days, social media. Come on. I mean, I was already a star.
I remember you. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Christmas. Yeah, you would have been in the drive-thru at Raising Cane's for sure. Taking orders.
I know.
But in all honesty, my opening day is very special to me. It's something that I do with my dad. My dad, I believe, is going on his 55th home opener in a row. Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. So it's a very special day for us. It's something that I don't miss. I don't care what I have going on in my personal life, my professional life. Opening day is on the calendar. So it really is, like I said many years ago, it's better than Christmas morning. It really should be a national holiday. Cincinnati does it right. I do. It's one of the days I look forward to on the calendar the most. So 24th home opener in a row on Thursday, despite the White Sox being probably very painful this year, still looking forward to being back at the yard.
All 24 with the White Sox?
All 24 with the White Sox. That's loyalty. Wow. That's loyalty.
Throw out the first pitch. 25.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
That's worthy of first pitch.
I mean, did you ever, Johnny, did you ever play with Chris Getz?
Yeah. And Barfield.
What are we doing here?
And Barfield's over.
And Barfield. I mean, what are we doing?
That's right.
Yeah.
What are we doing? The pitch and moan first pitch at some point. Guaranteed.
Some point. We got a couple days today. Get on your Rotodex, Rob. Get her out there.
We're working on it. Things are popping. A lot of things are popping.
Yeah.
But Courtney, that's awesome. But I always love hearing that story. Loved hearing it last year. And I'm glad that, it didn't sneak up in like the day after it happened. Oh, I remember Courtney just went to the opening. No. Now I will think about opening. I'll come back to it. I'll come back to it for both of you. We talk about setting the tone, but we're talking about opening day for both of you. I'm not just kidding. Like for the story you just told Courtney and Johnny, I'm sorry. Like I've covered a lot of opening days, but that one was the one I remember because that 2013 was definitively impactful, I think, for what happened the rest of the time. That's my opinion. So I don't know.
I agree. I mean, trend setting, right? Setting the tone. Everyone's going to try, but only one team can take the lead.
Mm. Well, listen, I appreciate you both, and I look forward to it. And we didn't even talk about things that are going to be so awesome to talk about, such as the record that Johnny Gomes holds that is you want me to tell it? You want me to say you? Why don't you save it? Why don't you save it?
What record? I mean, we got plenty.
Only as you told me, this two records will never be broken.
Yep, that was a fact.
One was Cal Ripken, the ones that Johnny Gomes owns.
Yep. I love that record. It's not going to get broken.
Let me tell you, so I can tell you in my professional career, the stories that I've done, the ones that got the most play, and like, for instance, we had Matt Strom on the podcast last year. I think I've told at least Courtney you this is that Matt Strom came on and talked about beer sales, right? Randomly and yes. TMZ and everything else. So I remember that one of the top five ones, Johnny, do you know what story it is?
No.
That I did with you. It was after a random middle of the season game. You crashed into a wall.
Oh, all the ways I've died or almost died?
Yes, five ways that Johnny Gomes almost died.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, probably another record, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But again, all things that are going to be talked about on Pitch and Moan, and I appreciate it. And the last thing I'm going to do right when I get off this podcast, along with the stickers. I think it was also made for a song. I think I'm going to ask some music people to make a song.
Yeah,
I love that.
Right?
Knock on, I mean, I got, you know, Jake Peavy and Bronson Arroyo in the back pocket.
Oh,
like, done.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I mean, come on.
Oh, there's a lot. Yeah. All right, guys, thank you. Thank you for being you.
See you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.